Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries live worship experience. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gift will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, family. This is Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen bringing you greetings once again from Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, our church family, and our senior leader, Chief Apostle McQueen. We want to say to each and every one of you, good morning and happy holidays to all. I just want to go into the scripture this morning of the book of James coming from the New Testament this morning. The book of James, the very first chapter, I just want to read two verses in our hearing, maybe three, but we want to go with the book of James this morning, coming from first chapter of James 1, verse 2. The word of God says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I read before you this morning the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, and his name is blessed on this morning. We want to go before prayer, following prayer, amen. We will continue moving forward in this service. We know that there is a word of the Lord on this morning, amen, and we are ready to hear, amen, and not only hear, but the Bible says the doers are blessed as well, amen. So not only be a hearer, but make sure that you are a doer of God's word. So, Father, this morning we just praise your name and we thank you, Spirit of the living God. We bless you this day that you have made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. We honor your name, O God, for the great things that you have done. We bless you for your hand of protection and your grace and your mercy that rests upon us. We thank you that goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our lives. We thank you, Father, that you chose us before the foundations of the world. We thank you that your son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. We thank you that this is the season that we celebrate his birth. We thank you for your plan and your purpose for us in the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you this day, Father. We lift your name up high in this place. We thank you where two or three are coming together. We will praise and we will glorify your name, for you are worthy, you are holy, you are righteous, you are omnipotent, you are our God, you are our King, you are our Lord, our friend, you are our peace, our comforter in times of struggle. We thank you for being our deliverer. You said, oh God, that any of us who cry out to you that need deliverance, we shall be saved. We thank you that deliverance is the children's bread. We thank you that healing is the children's bread. We bless your name, oh God, and we come in this house, humble as we know how. We come before you, all that are praying and thanking you and glorifying you. We come humble as we know how. We ask, oh Father, for your forgiveness. Any door that we have opened to the hand of the enemy, known or unknown, we repent of it right now. We plead the blood of Jesus over it. We ask that you would close those doors, oh Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Wash us and purge us with hyssop. Make us clean and white as snow. Father, we thank you that you are doing that for us. We thank you for your forgiving power. We thank you for your forgiving grace. And as we come to worship, as we come to lift you up, as we come to glorify, as we come to thank you, we invite your presence, we invite your anointing in this house this morning. We ask that you would change lives, that you would change minds, that you would change men's hearts, that we would lift up the name of Jesus all over this place. Every leader, oh God, that is ministering your word this morning, we ask that you would crown their head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ask that your spirit of wisdom would rest upon their tongue. We ask that your spirit of wisdom and understanding would rest upon their mind, that you would give them what they need to speak forth your word this morning. Father, let your word pierce men's hearts, pierce them and cause them to come out of dark places, cause them to come out of desolate places. Cause that word, oh God, for them to come into the kingdom of God, saying, what must I do to be saved? Now, Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for your grace a little bit more. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your continuous deliverance. Anoint us, oh Father, as men and women of God, that we may stand for truth and righteousness, that we will keep the line of holiness still pure. Hallelujah. That we will hold your standard that you have ordained for us in the name of Jesus. Keep our hearts pure, that we will still have compassion for men, that we will still pray and seek your face forevermore. And we ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. We glorify his name this morning, family. For those of you who are coming in, thank you. Welcome once again. Good morning. We are here to lift up the name of Jesus just a little bit higher this morning, amen, to give his name praise. Following that, we will have a family prayer, the altar call that will be coming, amen, hallelujah, and then the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, excuse me, amen, is coming forth this morning, forgive me, amen. There is a word from the Lord on this morning. We want to, amen, as we prepare our hearts this morning, let us begin to receive. Open up our hearts and our minds, family of God, that we would receive what the word of God is speaking to each and every one of us. I challenge, amen, many of you, that this would be a time that you would not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Amen. There's power in numbers. Amen. There's power when something about when we come corporately into the body of Christ. It's something about the seasons. Amen. The enemy likes to use the spirit of depression and oppression in the seasons of celebration, amen, Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year's, amen. That is a time where we people gather together. That is a time where families come together, amen, near and far to celebrate the holidays, amen. But we also know that some families are very toxic. Some environments are not very pure, amen, and the stress and the strain of even thinking about doing and going forth and some of those things, amen, can cause havoc. So we want and pray, not only we're praying for you, for those who have to deal with those type of situations, we're also praying, amen, that you will find a place of peace and solace, amen, that you will find a place, amen, and a people where you can have that peace, amen, and that acceptance and that love, amen. And one of the main things we want you to do while you're looking for people is make sure that you find everything you need in Christ, amen. It is in him that we live, in him that we move, and in him that we have our being, amen. And we also just want to touch the announcements real quickly, family. I want to let you know, Tuesday night, please join us for our Bible study night, amen, Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute, on Thursday from 1 hour, from 7 to 8. We are here for prayer. If any of you, amen, are looking or to pray and come together and just be in a house of prayer or in an atmosphere of prayer, and you are in the Brevard County area, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida, is where we will be on Thursday from 7 to 8. Amen. If you need prayer requests to go forth, go to our website, www.ctkrm.org. Let us know that you need prayer. We will take your prayer request before the Lord, amen, on Thursday, amen, Thursday from 7 to 8. And we will hold those prayer requests up before him until we hear an answer from God, amen. And we are going to pray the will of God to be done in your situation, amen. So that's prayer for Thursday night at 7. Friday night is Jam, Jesus and Me Ministry. Also at 7 p.m., our praise and worship experience. Sunday morning, we're here at 9 a.m. for our live worship service. Amen. Once again, family, the roads lead to 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. We also ask that if this word is blessing your life in any way, you see growth, amen, you feel a connection in the spirit, we also want you to connect with us by going to our website, www.ctkrm.org. And as the word of God is speaking into your life, we ask that you are so into that word. There's several ways to do so that are on our website, and we ask that you would help us to continue doing what we do, amen, and that is preach his gospel, amen, amen. All that being said, family, please, if you would, let us receive none other than our senior leader who will be coming forward, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, of not only Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, but Kingdom Convergence, amen. Let us bless God for his life as he comes forth to deliver the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank him and we glorify our God for the great things that he has done. Amen.
Come on, put your hands together and just give God a praise, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We are grateful for all that he has done, and we will bless the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I've made up in my mind that I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And we're praying. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you have given. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you have set us right now in a place and in a time that is conducive to your hand working in our life. We're not here because we missed it. We're not here because we have failed. We're here because we're your children. And we come once again to get instructions from you. Oh, God, you know exactly where we are. You know our placement, our time, and our season. So, Lord, I ask that you would touch us now. Give us encouragement. Help us to go forward. I pray for those right now who are suffering and dealing with the spirit of depression. Those right now who are dealing with the sense of loss and unimportance and feeling detached. Lord, that you would help them to understand that you love them and that your people love them as well. Lord, help us to demonstrate your love in the earth so that those that would experience and would not know you can know who you are through us. Now, Lord, I ask that you touch our eyes that we see, our ears that we can hear your voice. Touch our minds that we can comprehend what it is you are saying to us and what you're showing to us. Touch our hearts that we don't get so involved with it mentally that we forget that you are in control of it all. Oh God, now even as we go forward, Lord, we thank you and we praise you in advance for every miracle, every sign, and every wonder this day, because we do what you've called us to do. We love you, we're sold out and dedicated to you, and we will bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say amen. So we are grateful for this work. We're grateful for this word in this time. And often what happens is we begin to prepare our hearts and our minds, amen, for the work that God has given us to do. But it is the season, Advent, that we're in. Amen. It's the brown ones on top. Amen. The season of Advent prepares us. What is the Advent? The Advent is the onset of Jesus Christ, amen, of God on earth, Emmanuel, amen. the Son of the Living God who came. Amen. I need the right glasses. If I have two of the same, then I still won't be able to see. It is the advent of Jesus Christ coming . Okay, let me take a look because here I'm good. All right. As I was saying, it is the advent, Jesus Christ coming. It is Emmanuel, God among us. Before this time, bulls and goats had to be slaughtered in order for there to be satisfaction for the sin. Every year on the Day of Atonement, the priest would have to go in and offer for himself, amen, sacrifice. And then he could offer for the people sacrifice, amen. And what happened on during the Advent, there was a body or a vessel that was prepared full of blood, amen. But the blood was not that of a sinful man, amen. It was not the blood of goats and bulls and doves and lambs and sheep. However, it was the blood of the Lamb of God, amen. Who comes and takes away the sins of the world. That blood, amen, was prepared in a body that was provided by a virgin birth. That advent is something that we have not seen and will not see again, and that is one that is impregnated by the Holy Spirit with the God child, amen. So we're grateful for this time of Advent. But as prophetess Dr. Crystal said, it is also at this time that we see that the enemy really works on depression, separation, loneliness, those things that trouble the hearts and the minds. And the reason why he does it is because this should be the time of your greatest hope, expectation. And yet and still we're fussing and we're dealing with the fact that this is the time of our greatest sense of loss. Amen. Families and friends that should be close and near are not close and near because some of them have gone on. In 2017, my mother and my father both passed, my mother in April, my father in November. At December 9th, we buried my father. I still remember doing his interment. It is one of those things in officiating at his home going. It is one of those things where you look back and you don't have mama anymore. You don't have daddy anymore. You're not trying to figure out how to get home to pay your respects to mom and dad and see the family and then get over to your friends, amen, because there's no mom and dad to go over to anymore. So you deal with those losses, but you don't deal with it as a loss because the Bible tells us as Christians that we do not sorrow as those who have no hope, amen. I recognize that my father and my mother lived a saved life, amen. They weren't perfect, but they were forgiven. Thank God for Jesus, amen. And because of that, I know that I will see them again. On the other side, I will see them, amen. And I know that they lived a life. As the song says, I'm sending up my timber. When I look at the fact that my mother gave birth to a bishop and me, a chief apostle and a bishop, and my brother who is pastor, and my sister who was co-pastor with her husband, church administrators and treasurers, and my brother who's a trustee, amen, up in Detroit for Bishop Michael Brooks and those. And when I begin to look at the fact that my family serves not just in the church, but we serve in the leadership of the church, then I know that the timber that my mother and my father sent up was great timber, amen. And what the mansion looks like, it must be great. So we don't sorrow during these times because they died without hope. We celebrate the fact that they showed us that there was a way to go and that we hope to see them again. Amen. And because of that, we celebrate them. I love the Lord and all that he has done. And I celebrate my brothers and sisters knowing that we are blessed and blessed of the Lord. Amen. So today I want to go into the message we started on, there's hope in your hereafter, Proverbs 23:17-18. Let me just read that in your hearing. It says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. So God's word is blessed. Last Sunday, I was able to minister in Pittsburgh at Northside Church of God. Thank God for Pastor Burns. We were in the area because yet another soldier had gone on. Pastor Kenneth McKissick had passed, and we went to be with the family. Amen. We all grew up in Soul Saving Station for Every Nation. Amen. In Midwest District. So we were all, I was the organist, he was one of my drummers, amen. Then we got into ministry, and he went off preaching, and I went off preaching, and we happened to see each other during Bishop David Queen's inaugural banquet, amen. The night before was a men's conference, and he was the keynote speaker. So I backed him up like good old times we did before. I was able to back him up while he preached. And we talked, and he was the last, one of the last people I spoke to walking out the door from the banquet the next night. Well, we had made plans to get together before summer next year, knowing that we're traveling in January and doing some other things in March and what have you. So we talked about getting together before summer and doing some things. Amen. And then the next thing we hear is that he passed. So it was disheartening that he passed. But then there was a joy of knowing that this was truly a soldier who didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. All of those who showed up talked about the fact that he was a worshiper. And I said it on Tuesday, and I'll say it tonight, today, that he was one at his home going, we spent time worshiping. Think about it, at a funeral where people's hands are uplifted, and while their hands are uplifted, we're all worshiping, tears falling down our face and rolling down our face, and people just bent over and leaning and rocking in the presence of the Lord, not because there was so much sorrow there, but because the worship was at that level. That testimony, the realization of that hope is what we were experiencing at the home going. The next day, Pastor Burns asked if I would speak and deliver the message. If there was a word, I told her there was a word because I believe that you should always be ready. Amen. At any given moment, you can't wait to go fast and pray and shut down and get some notes together so that you can do what needs to be done. Okay? That's not possible. You have to be able to give a right now word for a soul that is hanging in the balance. So you have to always be ready. When she asked if there was a word, if there's a word, I said, yes, there is. So on Sunday morning at Northside Church of God, I delivered this word. And as I kept going over it, it began to really resonate within me that there are some things that we need to look at. Tuesday, if you go back and look at the archives, those of you who watch us by social media or on website, you should be able to, our YouTube channel, should be able to go in and go back and see the beginning of this, because I won't take time to go back over all of that. That was, if you will, a message in itself. But it laid the foundation of not envying the sinners. Amen. Mm-hmm. But recognizing that while the sinners are doing what they're doing, amen, my job is to be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day long. Now, I tell you, if I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, I don't have time to notice what you trying to falsely show me. Amen. Because while you showing me, looky what I'm driving and looky what I'm doing, looky at how much money I got and looky how many people I have liking my stuff and following me and all the rest. Listen, after all is said and done, not one of those people will give up anything that they have to sustain you. Amen. What do you mean by that? They don't know you. They might like something you said, but that's not enough to give their life for you. Amen. They might like something that you did and a nice little quote that you had, but that doesn't mean that they're ready to drain the bank account and give it to you for your sustainability. Amen. So all of that becomes then fake. It's stuff that is put on and put up at a certain level so that people can think that they have relevance in life, but they really don't. What's really relevant is the plan and the purpose of God for your life, because within that, God has already designed sustainability. He's already determined how he's going to keep you and why he would keep you and what needs to be done for your success. Amen. So with that, we understand that there is a hope in searching and seeking after God. The word goes on in the 18th verse and says, for surely there is a hereafter. And the word hereafter denotes a future. You need to look past. And the word future doesn't just go to your tomorrow. It goes to your after your tomorrow. In other words, after you have no more tomorrows on this side, you have to deal with the hereafter. And you have to understand that this is a short amount of time to get it together for eternity or whatever this decision is. We live here now, not because this is going to be ours forever. We live here because this is your proving ground. Amen. This is the time that you set up whether or not you will serve him and whether or not it is something that God will bless you with and sustain you through. Once you get done here trusting in God and proving your faith and your obedience, you show that you have compassion and that you are sanctified and holy and righteous based upon his blood and his desire for your life. After you show that you can operate in the unity of the faith, then you get to the other side. When you get to the other side, then God begins to show you what all this was about. Amen. It's interesting. If you will, we talk about we see through a glass darkly, but we'll know it and understand it better by and by. Your hereafter will come with some of the closures that you've been seeking on this side. I need that to really hit you hard, because some of you can't move forward in God trying to get a closure from something that is unimportant. It's irrelevant now. But when you get on the other side of your hereafter, you'll understand it and see it better and know it better. You'll understand it better by and by. So then what do we have on this side then? And that's what I'm going to talk about. And your hope will not be cut off. Hope is, if you will, it is a cherished desire with anticipation to want something to happen or be true. It is a desire with expectations of attainment or fulfillment. What keeps a person alive and keeps them progressing towards dismal situations that have devastated others and they have succumbed to? It is the hope, amen, that sustains them. All the songs, when we listen to the slavery and those who were enslaved, those songs of hope kept them through those turbulent, deadly, trying times. Look at what they said. They said, sing us a song, one of those songs you sing. They were going to Babylon, and they said, the Israelites said, how can we sing in a strange land? What happens then is when we go into a strange situation and we're in the dismal place, is that we begin to sing songs of hope and encouragement. Those songs that will remind us that we are not at the end of it all. This is a transitional point. It may be a hard transition, but these days will not last forever. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There are songs that remind you that, yeah, it's tough now, but it won't be tough always. We go through it, we deal with it, because these are needful things. And I'll tell you, it's interesting that sandpaper does something that is incredible. Sandpaper will cause you, if you will, to become smooth from its roughness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at different grains, these determine how smooth you actually become. So while you sitting back worried about your rough times, recognize God is moving out some stuff on you so that you can be fit for the master's shoes. The hope is that while I'm going through this, this is not going to destroy me. It's not going to take me so far out that I can never recover. Amen? See, for the Bible says, and we know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good, amen. What is the hope that I have that even in the worst times that there has to be some good in that worst, amen? Your hope will not be cut off. Hope then deals with the desire with expectation of attainment or fulfillment. It's to expect with confidence. And that right there, the last one of those definitions right there, is to expect with confidence deals with faith. My confidence is in my faith. Don't lose hope in Jesus Christ and his ability. I recognize that all things were created by him, through him, for him. Amen. And when you recognize that, then you stop worrying about what other people are doing and how they're doing it, because they can do all that they want. But at the end of the day, this is all about Jesus. Amen. Huh? He did it. Why did he do it? Because he felt like doing it. It was his to feel like doing it about. Amen? And because of that, we don't lose hope. We don't lose hope at all. Amen? We look at it and we say what we need to say, knowing that God is going to do what he needs to do for us. Amen? Come on, clap your hands and give God a praise right there. Amen. So I then begin to look at this and talk to the Lord and begin to understand his hand upon what he's called us to, amen? And because he has called us in such a way and spoken to us in such a way, I know that this here is something that he wants us to know. He wants us to see. He wants us to understand. That your expectant hope has to be with confidence. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And prophetess Dr. Crystal and I, we were speaking. I said, the problem that we have is the devil likes to show us stuff. Amen. I see how you looked at me. I saw what you did. You see that? All of this is seeing and all the rest of that. And what it does is it undermines our faith, because now we see stuff that we have to come to resolution with. And I told her and I talked to others at times, and I said, you know, I learned how to see stuff but don't take it in. And the question is how can you see stuff and don't take it in? You get two words that will ward off the enemy, and those two words are so what. Amen. I know somebody's going to look at me and say, so what? You should care. No, you don't have to care about everything. Amen. Because some things that are brought to you are simply there as a distraction to get your mind off of what God is doing and place it on what people want you to see while they're trying to accomplish what they're trying to do. Amen. So you have to learn how to get a so what in your spirit when the enemy comes trying to show you something, because the Bible says here very clearly that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't lose my hope. I have to have confidence in that. Confidence means that my hope is not going nowhere, no matter what your opinion of my hope is. Amen? I'm still going to hold on to my hope because I have to have something of substance to grab hold to while my faith is materializing, while my faith is working itself out, amen, then I still have to have something there that will work for me and not against me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence. Because you're trying to say that evidence is, so show it to me. Prove it to me. No. See, the thing is that if I'm doing everything because I can see it, then I'll never do anything that I can't see. And the things that I can't see are the things that are eternal. So I'll never set up for my hereafter because I'm always trying to deal with my here. Okay? So while I'm dealing with my today, then I'm not dealing with my tomorrow. And if I'm not dealing with my tomorrow, then hereafter will come, and I'll have nothing there of substance. Y'all see that? So when your works are tried by fire and God begins to deal with you and what you've done and how you've done it and the intent of your heart and the purpose behind your actions, if they don't align with his will for your life, then they'll be burnt up. But what is left is what your faith and your obedience produced. When God spoke to you, did you move with confidence in what God said? Or did you demonstrate a lack of faith in his word and his plan by not moving at all, by making excuses, by trying to find ways to modify his word? You see that? See, the thing is that God speaks to us words that have to be obeyed, not necessarily fully understood. Because you will never understand God's mind. And God would tell you to go through the rough spot over there because God knows it clears up past the cloud. The enemy will show you that it's clear over here and have you walk down that way knowing around the corner it's a storm that's longer and bigger than the cloud you would have walked through had you simply been obedient. See, our vision fails us because we can't see the way that God sees. So you're easily distracted. You can be fooled by something that appears to be right. Look at this. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Look right, but what can do great damage in the end. We don't have time for great damage to be done to us while we're trying to figure out whether or not this is God. How did God do this? Why did God do this? You see? I don't understand. I can't see it. You're right. You can't understand it because your mind cannot comprehend the things of God. Can I go here? I'm going anyhow. It says that a carnal mind is an enmity against God. Because it cannot understand the things of God, nor can it because it is carnal. While you try to understand spiritual things with your carnal understanding, you'll always miss God. Where your mind can not fathom what God is thinking and how he's thinking, that's where your obedience comes in. Lord, you said move, I don't understand, I'm gone. Why are you going? Because I don't need to understand it. I need to know that God said it. And once I understand that God said it, then all things are now settled. I don't have to see or hear or experience anything further as far as evidence, because I understand that if I'm moving forward, as God told me, that those that are led by the Spirit, he has given them the power. You stop asking for power when you won't follow through with the requirements, amen, with the caveat to get to it. Stop asking God for something that you won't walk through to obtain. He's given them the power to become the sons of God. So then if I'm going to become a son of God, then that means that I learn how to mimic my father, whatever he has done, however he has done it, I learn how to do what my father does. It's an interesting, Jesus said, I know whose father, who is your father, because you do the works of your father. In other words, we can look at your works and tell whose child you are. But Satan was a liar from the beginning. And some of you right now will get mad because we will challenge your faith. And you'll say, who are you to challenge my faith? I will tell you, first of all, I'm not challenging your faith. God would tell me to ask you something or to do something, and he'll call you to accountability, amen. I know that's a bad word because can't nobody judge me, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do because I'm grown. All the rest of that. Until you get into the presence of the Lord, and God begins to show you that stony heart that needed to be worked out, amen. It showed you your stiff neck that needs to kink worked out of it. You wouldn't let nobody work on you because ain't nobody good enough to speak to you. I've never in my life run into so many different saints who are so spiritual on a different level that can't nobody speak to them because look at it. How they going to say something to me and they this, that, and other. Listen, the moment that person said, Lord, forgive me, whatever you just said don't even matter anymore because he don't see it, okay? Look at this. They mess up and they said, Lord, forgive me. And then they come back with guilt because the devil says, you know you messed up. And they said, Lord, I'm so sorry. He said, sorry for what? You see that? You see, while you sitting back trying to hold on to other people's faults and what they have done in their past and how short they have come up, don't forget yourself. And while you telling everybody they can't talk to you because they ain't deep enough and they ain't on a certain level, you better be careful. The disciples decided to ask Jesus who would be greatest in the kingdom. Jesus turned around and picked up a little child, held him in his bosom, and began to talk to them about the child. And some of you too grown for God to use you. Some of you have matured past listening to the Holy Spirit. You feel that God is giving you some common sense, and even though you say you're a child of God, you're really a deist in your thinking and your activity. What do you mean, Apostle? What are you saying, Chief? What I'm saying is that deists believe that God created it and left it to us, and it's our responsibility to run it and keep it going, like the clockmaker makes the clock, winds it up, and then sits it over to the side and goes off and does something else. Some of you believe that God set you in a high, wealthy place, and now he's gone off to take care of other things, so you're going to spend the wealth and the resource and do whatever you want, and he's not even here to challenge you. So when the challenge of accountability comes, you sure earned it all. I know they ain't talking to me. Yes, we're talking to you. First of all, because God didn't go nowhere. He is transcendent, which means he's outside of your reach. He's outside of your ability to touch him empirically. You cannot do that. It does not work. Amen. But when you go back and study the evidence, you have to recognize that God had to do it, which means he's imminent. He's right here involved in your situation. Because you can attest to it yourself that you don't know how and when and what happened. All you know is that everything looked like it was for naught. Everything was done. It was over. And then something happened. God comes in and proves that he's not distant, but he's near. So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. For on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. My hope is built on Jesus Christ. All of the ground sinking sand. When we talk about this, it's important. I said this on last Sunday. I said it's interesting that we talk about this, Hebrews 1, 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we just opposed that to the sixth verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So in other words, faith is the flour for the cake. They're going to catch this right here. Because one of the things that you can't do is make a cake without the flour. All right? It's going to be something else. It's going to be something else. We made it with the cornmeal, okay? Well, that's a different type of cake, but it's not the cake we're talking about. Amen? See, what's happened is we have found so many substitutes in our life. People are now gluten-free and that-free, and they get rid of this and get rid of that, and they walk around doing all kind of stuff trying to prove that they can live without certain things in your life. What you're trying to do is prove that you can exclude things from your life and still live, amen? The Bible lets us know that at the very beginning, he made us to eat the herbs of the ground and the fruit from the trees. But after the fall, he gave us animals also to eat. Those of you who are walking around talking about the biblical diet was not with animals, but we were created original. Yeah, but we fell. Did you miss that part of the Bible that you read? Okay, because see, we're trying to go back and find stuff that we don't need. That's why your body breaks down without proteins that maybe we didn't need before the fall. But now we need it. Do y'all see this? Because we have learned as humans how to adapt to environments and situations and circumstances. So what we're trying to do is prove that we can do it all ourselves. We can come up with alternatives for our success and for our sustainability. But one thing that you cannot do is you can't get rid of the Creator. So you got to have what he requires. Without faith, It is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who look at this, who diligently seek him. So I understand then why it says here, it says, for surely there's a hereafter, amen, and your hope will not be cut off. But in 17th verse, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Why am I zealous for the fear of the Lord? Because I'm so fearful not to be in his presence, not to be found obedient to what he said, not to be in the will of God, that I'm seeking him. I'm diligently looking after him to see where he is and what he's saying and how is he doing. Lord, show me your movement. Show me your ways. I need to know you greater. If I know you greater, then I know I won't stray. And because I'm not going to stray, I know I won't fail. And because I know I'm not going to fail, then I know that the reward that my faith and my obedience produce as a harvest will show up for me. Let me just give you a couple more things and we'll cut it off. Hebrews 12, 24, 22. When you're seeking God because you understand that there's a hereafter, you'll take care of certain things that need to be done. Look at this. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, 23rd verse, to a general assembly, and to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Y'all missed that, didn't you? Because one of the things that you haven't worked on and worried about is whether or not you are registered for this. I looked at that and the Holy Spirit said, are you registered? And I said, what are you talking about? And he brought me to the scripture and I began to read this. And he said, listen, before you can come in, you have to be registered. How many of you know that there are day sessions that you cannot go to unless you are registered? Okay. The evening sessions are open to the public, but the day session where all the teaching, training, and the resources are given is in the day session, huh? And you have to be registered to attend. All right? Show up to a party at the White House, and they go down that list looking for your name and see that you have not sent in your RSVP. Amen? Yeah, you got an invitation. But you didn't answer. You just decide the last minute you're going to show up. They'll be looking down and saying, we don't have you here. Show up to the hotel and say, this is a good place. And walk in and say, I'm here for my room. And they say, have you registered? They'll look for your name to have already been submitted and for things that have already been taken care of so that you can enter in and enjoy the festivities, those things that have been prepared for you. You haven't RSVP'd, you're going to have a hard time walking in and getting a plate because some of those events have just enough plates for the people who have registered. Mm-hmm. Now, if this was an all-you-can-eat, they can squeeze out another plate from what somebody else didn't eat. But when you go to some of those other places, when they make your Cornish hen with the presentation and the garnishments around it, they make each one for each person. You see that? So if you did not register, they didn't make one for you, which, by the way, took so many hours to prepare all of this. So, no, they can't run them back and just throw one together because the preparation for it is not something that's done quick. It is something that had to take time to be done. So I got to ask you a question. Well, I said it earlier, sending up my timber. How much have you registered and prepared? Okay? Because if God is giving you assignments that are based on your obedience, and he's giving you things to do that is based and predicated upon your faith, then your registration will be carefully taken care of. okay? The church of the firstborn, those that belong to Jesus, the church is not the location. The church is those that are the members of the body. Amen. The General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, who are registered where? In heaven. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see that? To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And that last one right there is the problem that all of you have. It's because you know nobody, including you, is perfect. But I want to give you something that you need to look at. It said to the spirit. My flesh is not perfect, but my spirit, you see that? Of just men. That means I'm not justified of myself. He justified me. He made me right standing before him. I'm not here as one who's right standing because I'm so goody two shoes. If it hadn't been for his blood applied to my sinful life, my behavior could not modify to the point that I merit any of this. But he justified me. He qualified me. And he glorified me. To the spirit of just men, and look at this word here. It says made. I want this to hit you. I want you to think about it. Because made is not, if you will, it's not something that just showed up. Made was something that had to be done. You see? If you made dinner, that means you went in and prepared it, cooked it, and then set it on plates so that you could present it. You see that? So made is an action, which is the same thing that faith is. Faith is an action word. Okay? Made is an action word. But what does it make me? Perfect. So I am saved by faith. But not by works, lest any man should boast. I am made perfect by God, who justified me. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am registered in heaven. You see this? This is a lot of interaction and correlation between God and me trying to get myself together for my hereafter. I can't be so focused on my here that I forget that there's a hereafter. My hope has to be based on the fact that there's a registration and my name is already on it. Second Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Second thing that I want to show you here is not only am I registered, but there should be some weight upon me. We got too many light saints. We know you're a light saint because as soon as something get on your nerves, you can put off Christianity. And then put it right back on. something that's heavy, you got to be careful how you move. Look, how you moving with something that you can barely, you ain't just throwing that down. You got to sit it down so that you don't pull a muscle and that you don't crush your hand or your foot or something else. Some of you, your Christianity is too light. It's not a heavy burden that you're carrying yet. You came to church because the band was good and the praise team sang, and the preacher knew how to hoop up at the right time. Okay, you loved all of that. But after all was said and done, your salvation and your Christianity is light. Getting saved is one part of that, but you got to work out. That's the action. Your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, and you're not working out at all. You still on the couch eating bonbons. So you have fluff, but you don't have anything of substance. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look at this, because we're still at the same thing. While we do not look at the things which are seen, I will get deeper into it, but every time I run to a preacher, they got something going on. You got something going on. Wait a minute. Can I just tell the truth on you? Because you won't accept it by saying it yourself. You'll say, I know I ain't perfect, but you'll never point out what you're not perfect about. But you will sit back and look at the man, the woman of God, and point out every flaw and every shortcoming and every circumstance and every situation where they should have did something different based on how you saw. And guess what? Your vision isn't always that clear. Amen? Look, how are you going to take out the beam from your brother's eye when you got a, okay, you see that? While you trying to take care of somebody else, you got to clear up your own so you can see clearly what you need to take care of them. And while you're dealing with all of that, you're doing so much about them that you never started on working on you. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, if you are looking through your eyes at what you can see, you're missing God. See, that's why I don't allow things that happen to come around me. I notice them, but I don't take them in, because those are things I can see. What I'm asking God is, show me what is moving, what moves that is not seen. You see it? Lord, show me what this is connected to. What is shifting with all of this that I'm seeing? What is it? Stop looking at the shift of things you can see moving and start asking God for the things that you can't see. What's shifting it? Because with that, you get intent. You begin to see how God is moving. You'll see his hand upon it, or you'll see the enemy trying to manipulate it. For the things which are seen are temporary. After it gets done being moved, it stops moving. And if you don't know what moved it, you still didn't see what's about to move the next thing. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Hereafter. Do y'all see this? I'm trying to get you to look at this from a different perspective. Look deeper, step back off of it, and start looking at what's happening in the hereafter, what's being set up for tomorrow. Because if you don't understand that everything that's happening around you, your negative will look like a negative. And I'm just going to give you this, and I'll let it go. One of the things you have to always understand, let me close this because I'll keep seeing stuff. One of the things you have to understand is that while you are dealing with all of that, God has the ability, he has the right, it is his prerogative to deal with things in such a way to cause you not to see the outcome. He don't have to show you nothing. Okay? But while you still looking at all of that, you can miss God on a technicality. Why are you missing God on that technicality? You're talking about who didn't do it, how they didn't do it. God said, get your eyes off of what you can see. See, what you can see can be manipulated by fear. But the things which are not seen have to be motivated by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is trying to get your hope to another level, because surely there is a hereafter, and you got to be ready to see his face. Somebody just say amen. Y'all know I'm not done. I'm just going to quit. Give God a praise.
Amen. We bless his name on this morning. Amen. There is a hereafter. Family, we want you to be encouraged in this season. We want you to understand that God is on your side. But we also want you to understand that while he is on your side, amen, you just can't sit there and do nothing. You have to be moving forward. This is the moment that we are in, where whatever we need to shore up with consistency and with an urgency, amen, for what we are getting ready to walk into for 2020. And I'm not here prophesying that it's going to be great, grand, and wonderful and all this other stuff. I want you, amen, to press into God's face for yourself. You need to hear what the Lord is saying. Don't wait on the favorite preacher. Don't wait on the favorite apostle and the favorite prophet. And don't get up on the social media either, trying to look for something that's going to make you feel good. Find out what God is saying for your life, your family life, and everything that is connected to you. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is getting into prayer and getting into fasting and getting into his word. Amen. Amen. So we bless God on this day for all that he has done, what he continues to do, and the great things he's going to do in your life and my life as well. Amen. So we want to also encourage you, family, amen, to be blessed. We want to encourage you to continue striving. Amen. We want to encourage you that whatever you have to do, get your fight back. Amen. This is the time for you to gird up. This is the time for you to call on your warring angels. This is the time to do whatever you need to do mentally, emotionally, psychologically, physically, whatever you need, spiritually, whatever you need to do, do that to make sure, amen, that you are in a place that your hope is not deferred, your faith is strong. When you decree and declare a thing, it will be established, and that the hand of God continues to thrust and move you forward into your prophetic destiny. Amen. Amen. So I'm Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, along with my husband, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, and the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries family. We want you to know that we love you, and we give God all the praise and glory for you, and that the Lord bless you and keep you, and that the Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and that the Lord lift up his countenance, amen, upon you and give you peace. Be blessed in his name. Oh, family, don't forget, go to our website once again, www.ctkrm.org. And as I said before, if this word is registering in you, if you feel God moving and breathing and breaking open revelation in your life, sow into the word, into this ministry. There's several ways to do so, and you can also connect with us as well. Go back into our archives and hear the word of the Lord or any other message that has been preached in this house. Amen. Amen. We love you. Be blessed, and happy holidays to you.